name in a game and wrestle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the Fun Heart take call of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... Alright, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Alright, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. All right, online, World of Wrestling, OWW, Genesis, WTR, Wild Talk Radio Networks, Nick Anthony. I'll just set it up. I don't know, man. It's raining like crazy here in L.A. I'm at work, trying to fight my way back here. And some lady cuts me off on my way back. Now, she didn't hit me. Thank God. Because then I would have been screwed. Because I can't afford insurance. I don't have any car insurance. But I get cut off by this lady. And since she looks back at me like I did something wrong. That Mexican lady. Then I come on board and the show hadn't even started. And I'm the one at fault. Oh, I didn't email you, Tim. That's what it was, huh? What good is the Skype thing? If I got to email so many different things, what good is the Skype? I got to email Skype. I got to email you at Wild Talk Radio Network. I got to email you at your personal email address. Online World of Wrestling, OWW, Genesis, WTR, Wild Talk Radio Networks. If you don't know already, I'm Nick Anthony. You're tuned in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, OWW Radio, where fans and legends come together. Whether you're a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, ECW, Superstars, Friday Night SmackDown, TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, the Indies, we talk them all, including MMA and fat Mexican women who cut you off on the road. We want to hear from you, and we've made it easy for you with our toll-free telephone number, 888-357-9876, 888-357-9876, hit option 2. Email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. I'm in the chat room, and for the douchebag who says I might say that Rick Martel might be was better off a mid-carder, you can go to hell and park it. Pop it in reverse and park it, buddy. Rick Martel coming on in the second hour here on OWW Radio. Also, Paul Simpson. He started a petition out there in UK to get the six sides of TNA's ring back in place for that promotion. Good luck, huh? That'd never happen. Stupid six-sided ring. Got an idiot to want to wrestle in that. Every wrestler that I've spoken to and I've heard, in readings, in the news, have been against the six-sided ring. Yet you and everybody else, I guess, is for this six-sided ring. See how that goes. Oh, we want to be different, he says. We want to be different. Spit in the face of tradition. So that's coming up on the show as well. Also, Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick. Any good matches this week, Aaron? I didn't see that many. Although, it wasn't ECW. It was Superstars. It was Vance Archer and that other dude whose talent is going to waste. Shelton Benjamin. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few mentionable matches. I got something kind of different planned for it, though.
You see TNA Impact? Anybody see that? Horrible. Horrible TNA Impact on Thursday. Absolutely horrible. What did the article out the other day about it? 16 minutes of wrestling? Was that what it was?
Yeah,
where's that article? It's horrible.
You can thank Hogan and Bischoff for that.
Well, I don't think Hogan and Bischoff have anything to do with that. I think it's more of them finding themselves, I guess, in the promotion. They don't know what they're going to do yet. And this whole screw job angle, I don't know what's going on with that. Why on earth they would want to try to copy something like that? It's just so stupid.
Yeah, it's really a spit in the face, really.
This whole thing with Mick Foley and Eric Bischoff is pretty much the only thing that is enjoyable over there in that promotion right now. I don't understand the tag team titles being on Matt Morgan and Hernandez. Them defeating the British Invasion. How stupid is that? And there's a report out right now that Hogan or Bischoff or the both of them, they don't even like the British Invasion. How can you not like the British Invasion? What else is going on over there at TNA? And this guy, Rob Terry, is just being used as some, I guess, a valet. I guess, I don't know. He's doing absolutely nothing.
Modern-day Miss Elizabeth. Guess that's what he can be called.
Kevin Nash. Six Pac or whatever he's calling himself now. And Scott Hall. That whole story. What's going on there? Nobody knows anything. I don't think they know what they're doing yet. And we get 16 minutes of professional wrestling on this program. I turned it. I didn't watch it all. Oh, I had such high hopes. Such high hopes. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we're cut off by a fat Mexican woman. Cut off.
You know, we really had a pretty good show planned out, too.
888-357-9876, option 2. Tim, let's go to a quick break, man. Right back on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, Darla.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four.
up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a tax machine, get on up.
All right, Beth Archer on Superstars fought Shelton Benjamin. One thing about Vance Archer that I noticed is that tattoo he has on his back. What's that about?
Sorry. All right,
we're talking TNA Impact as well as whatever else is going on in the world of professional wrestling. Coming up, Rick Martel in the second hour. Also, Paul Simpson, who's starting that six-sided ring petition for TNA. Trying to get that back in place. Don't think that's going to work, but they got quite a bit of signatures on the petition so far. You believe that, Aaron? I can't believe that so many people like this ring. This spitting on the face of tradition.
You know, whenever I first saw TNA, the six-sided ring was hard to watch. I mean, it made the whole program hard for me to watch. And sooner or later, I got to be honest, it didn't really grow on me. I got used to seeing the six-sided ring, and I didn't ever think much about it after watching it a little while.
Yeah. Well, it only grew on you because there was nothing else. That was the only reason why it grew on you, and don't you agree? I mean, it didn't grow on you, is that what you're saying? Everybody, I guess it grew on everybody else. They want it back. And I find it hard to believe that they would want something so, I don't know, so... I don't know. It's so against the norm.
Yeah.
They're trying basically to have this thing be, you know, something that is not. Professional wrestling is the squared circle. And to have this UFC-type, you know, ring or rope surrounding your ring, it's just foolish to me.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this petition is out, and we'll talk to this guy, Paul Simpson, and find out his motive behind it. What does he say? Coming up in the next segment.
Hear that.
All right, we're talking TNA Impact, the 16-minute. You hear that? 16 minutes they had on Thursday's TNA Impact show, which was, forgetful. Absolutely forgetful. And I don't hang around professional wrestling shows that I don't, you know. If I'm not getting into it, by that first hour, first 10, 15 minutes, I don't watch the whole program. I turn it off. I completely turn it off. Because it doesn't interest me. So I want to hear from you. 888-357-9876. 888-357-9876, option 2. What do you think about the direction of TNA so far? The way they're going. Do you think they're going backwards or forwards with this? Obviously, they're going... backwards, right? 16 minutes? Come on.
I mean, it's been referred to as WCW 2.0, and I couldn't agree any more with that.
Here's what I would have done if I were Hogan or Bischoff starting off in this promotion, TNA. Right from get-go, January 4th, January 4th, that January 4th program, I would have had every big-name superstar on that program inside a battle royal type match, squaring off to see who's the number one contender. I would have had Kurt Angle and all these guys. That storyline with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles would have been done long time ago. Here they are still pushing this thing. Why Kurt Angle got another rematch after Genesis, I don't know. When Hogan clearly said, this is your last chance. This is sounding more and more like Jericho on WWE. You remember, he's supposed to be off of that crappy Monday Night Raw program it is now. He's supposed to be off of that. Every now and then, he's coming back on. More and more like WWE Monday Night Raw Impact is being. And talk. Everybody has to say something. And I don't get it. I would have had every big-name superstar, Kurt Angle. I would have even had Hernandez, Morgan, all those guys in the ring the same time, Battle Royal style.
One of their mistakes on the January 4th episode of Impact, I noticed they advertised a barbed wire match and a Full Metal Mayhem match. Neither one of those matches took place. So
same thing happened at Genesis, dude. They had things scheduled for Genesis, and things didn't happen there. One, Bobby Lashley didn't fight.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, that was the debut of Anderson, though. So
yeah. So. If they're going to advertise something, don't you think they should follow through? It's false advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, and they advertised Scott Hall to team up with Kevin Nash.
With Kevin Nash, exactly.
Yeah, they pulled Scott Hall from the match, and they ended up doing some crap in the crowd, you know. And that's just, like, nobody knows what they're doing there.
Yeah, so apparently Hogan and Bischoff, and who... Why is Bischoff there if Hogan's running the company? Or why is Hogan there if Bischoff's running the company? Here is Mick Foley on Impact the other day. And this is... I'm about to go crazy. And this is so stupid because it's all scripted television pro wrestling and I'm going crazy over it. So stupid. What am I doing? Mick Foley comes out to the ring and he's yelling at Eric Bischoff to speak with Eric Bischoff. And Hogan's right there. Wouldn't you want to talk to Hogan if he's running the company? Why are you talking to Bischoff?
They're
but yet he wants to
together,
talk to
Nick.
I don't understand it. But okay, if they're running it together, then why is Eric Bischoff saying to Bobby Lashley that I'll talk it over with the Hulkster to see if we want you back on the program and things like that? I don't get it.
Because if
who's running the company?
Hey. Nick, if they're partners, then wouldn't it make sense for the partners to discuss big decisions like that?
Are they partners, though?
Yeah.
888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
You're just having a great night, aren't you, Nick?
Aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
From Jumpstart. Only person I'm liking right now over at TNA is the Pope. D'Angelo De Niro. Only person I'm liking over there. He's got that old school feel.
Okay.
Even though Hogan's old school himself, I'm not liking it right now. D'Angelo is the only one I'm liking there.
All
well,
right.
Desmond Wolf as well.
I'm going to have to come kind of clean on this. I was proved wrong on the Pope. Shock told me, like, he really sat me down and made me read a post that he said. And he was talking about how, you know, Pope is, like, German suplexes and DDTs aren't, they don't really fit into his gimmick. And once I started reading about that, mm-hmm. I started realizing where I could be wrong. So what I did was I sat down and I watched, I kind of just studied the Pope against Desmond Ruffy. See, I'm even using his terms now, at Genesis. And I have to admit, that was one of the better matches I've seen in the past several
years. Well, good. Now you're on our side, huh? After all this hoopla you gave the Pope last week, now you're on our side.
Well,
all you had to do was think and not take this Jim Cornette style of thinking. That's all you had to do, dude.
Don't push it. I've already admitted my mistake. Don't push me.
More on TNA when we come back. Six-Sided Ring with Paul Simpson here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. as well news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the Pro Juice, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Hey everyone, while you're listening to Nick Anthony brag about OWW's nomination and heading to vote for OWW Radio at the Wrestling Radio Awards, and if you haven't heard about it yet, information can be found at Audio Wrestling. Head on over to www.audiowrestling.com and check out the Wrestling Radio Awards. Don't forget to vote for Tim Stein for Host of the Year for OWW Radio's sister show, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
Yeah, after watching Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines, Jeff Garcia immediately demanded to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you. I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Chad, please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bang!
You know, maybe I need this. Nothing wrong with me loving you. I'd rather do this.
Until about two seconds ago, that was my favorite song.
Shut up, Aaron. Go ahead, Tim. (888) 357-9876 (2). Nobody's happy. Which I am. You talking about socks? I almost got hit. All right, Paul Simpson out of the UK and started a petition about the six-sided ring. So far, it's up to what, 188. I had to get him on the, it's like 2 in the morning over there. Couldn't get him on the phone. Paul, if you're listening in, give us a call, dude. 888-357-9876 (2). You get Timmy Stein. apparently I got to email, you know, everybody in his contact list to get a hold of him. (888) 357-9876, option 2. So none of you guys have an opinion on TNA's direction? You guys are satisfied with it? Apparently so. Apparently you guys are satisfied with TNA having 16 minutes of professional wrestling in a two-hour program. You guys are apparently happy with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles over and over and over again.
Plus yet another version of the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah. What was the point of that? What will benefit that? What will benefit copying WWE's Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Vince McMahon, Montreal Screwjob? What benefits the promotion? Where can they go? At first glance, I thought, all right, something big is happening here. I see Earl Hebner. He did that Phantom thing he did. And then Hogan came out the back, which I don't think he should have. I mean, if they would have left it right there with Hebner and Styles and Ric Flair just fleeing, getting out of the ring, and dude going crazy, Kurt Angle going crazy in the ring, if they would have left it right there, everything would have been cool. Kurt Angle saying, screw TNA, screw Hogan, all this, it would have been fine. I was thinking, okay, something big is happening. Something big is happening here. But then, no. Hogan comes down. Kurt Angle saying, I don't need this crap. I'll go back to the WWE. Then spits on Hulk Hogan. Then you knew it was a copy job. Cut and paste, huh? You knew it. But if they would have just left it at the beginning stages, it would have been fine. Something people would have been talking about. Well, we're talking about this, but only in a negative way. We would have been talking positively if they would have left it in the Genesis. But apparently you guys are happy about it, so we'll move on. 888-357-9876. 888-357-9876. Let's see. You ready for your match of the week, Aaron? You mentioned you had some new things scheduled for it, or something scheduled for it that may require, you know, some of you guys helping out on it. I told you that Vance Archer and the gold standard Shelton Benjamin had a very good match on WWE Superstars. But we'll find out what you have in store for Match of the Week. Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick for a tip.
OWW Radio.
All right, you can send in your candidates for Match of the Week by simply emailing radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, or if you are a member of OWW Genesis, just private message Total Nonstop on the boards, Matt. All right, Aaron, take it away, dude.
All right, man. Basically what I've got here is I've got about four honorable mentions from last week. I'm going to go right down the list. Monday Night Raw had a surprisingly good match with Randy Orton and Chris Masters. You know, Masters is somebody who I've always seen potential in, and he really showed that he can hang, at least for a few minutes, with somebody the caliber of Randy Orton. Was it match of the week quality? No. Obviously just made to get Orton over. ECW, a tag team match. Last week I mentioned Goldust had a surprisingly good match. He's in this match. Trent Beretta, Kalen Croft against Goldust and Yoshitatsu.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not impressed at all with Yoshitatsu. But this match was pretty good. I'm starting to be kind of a mark for the new kids, Trent Beretta and Kalen Croft. I see a lot in them. I don't know if I can see tag team championship matches in their future or not, but I like them. Of course, on Superstars, Vance Archer and Shelton Benjamin. Nick, what did you think about this match? You seemed
kind of off. Yeah, Vance Archer, I didn't see any of his earlier work. So I didn't see him TNA or wherever he came from. I didn't see him there. So he's new to me. So just looking at him take on Shelton Benjamin and the rivalry that he had with Shelton Benjamin and the feud that I should say he's having with Shelton Benjamin over there at ECW is refreshing. Because I haven't seen anybody who can really keep up with Shelton Benjamin. And for Vance Archer, a newcomer into the promotion, to really take it to him and that intensity that he had to not let up on Shelton Benjamin when he was on the ropes 2 weeks back and him being disqualified, that was refreshing. Very refreshing for a heel character to do this and to win. It really put himself over in my eyes. It's just my opinion.
Well, your opinion counts. Friday Night SmackDown, they seem to be doing a lot of these weird tag teams lately. I mentioned last week a Great Khali and Matt Hardy. They ended up picking up a win Friday night. But that's not the match I'm talking about. The match I'm talking about is Chris Jericho teaming up with Drew McIntyre to take on John Morrison and R-Truth. I was extremely, extremely impressed with the tag team moves and the match in general involving Morrison and Truth, particularly those two. These two reminded me, I want to say of the Rockers because of their high flying, but they're not really the Rockers. To me, that they really put on a good show against McIntyre and Jericho. I like McIntyre. I think he's a good wrestler, and of course Jericho is. He's one of WWE's biggest stars, but There still was just a little bit missing in that match, I think. I don't think it was a match of the week quality, and neither was Vance Archer and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
So, what I've got planned here is I want to ask any caller at all, more than one even, to call in to old WW Radio right now and tell me what you thought should be match of the week, and we can talk about it right there. So if anybody has any kind of suggestions, please don't hesitate to call in and let me know.
And that call-in number is 888-357-9876, option 2. Your candidate for match of the week. Aaron says he couldn't find one. I'm going with the Vance Archer, Shelton Benjamin on Superstars. They had a great, you know, a storyline going into this match, which is a you know,
that's
one of the
things I look at.
Exactly. So that's a high mark for me for that match. It had that great storyline. It had great back and forth action. They both were telling stories. They sold very well. You could agree with that. Did you see the match, Aaron?
Yeah, I saw it. You know, I'm just the thing about that match with me is I'm just not too impressed with Vance Archer. You know, I followed him since he was in TNA as Lance Hoyt. I've seen all of his matches. He was one of the guys that did the Guitar Hero gimmick with,
yeah,
what's his name, Jimmy Rave. And to me, he's never, he reminds me a lot of Test.
Mm-hmm.
And Test, to me, was never that great of a wrestler. To me, he's all meat, like all muscle. And, you know, I'm just not really into that kind of
wrestling.
Well,
there you go again with that thinking of, you know, one style of a professional wrestler.
Listen, I mean, I've even seen Vance Archer do a coast-to-coast, like a Van Terminator move.
Yeah.
And do a front flip while doing it. And that's pretty impressive. But, I mean, you know, he's one of those, he likes to be in control of the match. And a lot of his moves just aren't believable, if you can put it that way.
All right. 888-357-9876, option 2, taking your phone calls now. What do you think the best match of the week was last week? Was it on Raw? Was it Superstars? ECW, SmackDown? Was it an indie promotion? Was it any one of the top three? Was it from ROH, the Briscoes?
You see
Briscoes versus Briscoes? You didn't like that one? I didn't like it either. It was too slow. Way too slow.
They could have run with it. I mean, brother versus brother? They could have run with that.
Think about the brother versus brother angles that we've seen throughout, you know, professional wrestling. Owen, Brett. Yeah, exactly. Even, they're not real brothers, but, you know. Taker and Kane, that too. But, they're not real brothers. But that storyline is way over. If ROH would have did Briscoe versus Briscoe and really did it upright, and, of course, it's for that stupid tourney that they're having, but whatever, I think it would have been over with the fans. Rather, we see Briscoe and Briscoe going move for move, very slow, very slow. They weren't even really punching each other. You knew what move was coming at what time. You knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
They both get counted out.
Yeah, the
Jim Cornette. Yeah,
Cornette.
Yeah, Jim Cornette comes down and says, you know, it's like kissing your own brother. Give me a thumbs up if you want to restart this match. They restart the match, then they start slugging it out. But by then, the match is done. You can see the time is running out on your TV, you know, on your clock. Oh, man, they got about 5 minutes left in the program. What's going to happen now? And by then, I was already turned out. You know me. 15 minutes in the program, if you don't got me, I'm turning it off. Option 2, 888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com also. All right, when we come back, Rick Martel will be calling us. We'll get him on the line. Rick Martel, he's one of my, one of the best heels that in the 80s, early 90s. You agree, Aaron?
I completely agree. Great tag team wrestler, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cannon,
one of the best.
Strike Force, I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love watching him.
We'll talk to him in the next hour. We're going to ask him about his early days, AWA, WWF. Also, when they...
AWA.
What did I say, AWF? What is AWF? Did I say AWF?
Tito Santana was in AWF. See, you got Strike Force mixed up.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, he's coming on in about 3 minutes here. Can't wait for that. OWW Radio has been nominated for the 2009 People's Choice Award. Go to, what is it, Wrestling Radio Awards. It's going to be held at January 31st, the day of the Royal Rumble. Go to that website and vote for us if you like the program.
Well,
yeah, man.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, Independent and International Discussion, Women's Wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All-Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
I have voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Wrestling Talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no scripts,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics and you lead the discussion.
Hadlin, Hadlin, which starts, shoots, what a stop by Kiprasov, rebound, oh, an even better start, they score, Dustin Boyd.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
OWW Radio is pleased to welcome one of the most memorable heels of the late 80s and early 90s. Former AWA Heavyweight Champion, WWE Tag Team Champion, WCW Television Champion, and yes, model. Wrestling legend Rick Martel, Rick Bienvenu, OWW Radio.
Well, thank you, Nick. I'm very... Very happy to be on the program with you, OWW Radio, and it's great to be talking to the fans also.
Thank you very much for coming on. Rick, you broke into wrestling in 1972, coming from a wrestling family. How were you treated in the locker room
Did the boys take it a little easier on you because you were from a wrestling family?
No, I don't think so. You know, of course, it always helps, but I think I earned the respect by what I did in the ring, you know, in my attitude, even though I was only 17 years old. You know, respect was always important for me, you know, respect to the other guy. And I think it was kind of a mutual.
I have a question from our executive producer, Corey Maurer, who is Canadian, by the way. I remember when he was young, talking about you, and he saw a clip of you in Quebec, Indy territory, where you smashed a beer bottle over your head to imitate an opponent. This left quite a lasting impression on him, and he's asking, is one of the reasons, he's saying, was the regular stunt for you early in your career or just one-time occasion was this stunt?
Well, the beer bottle is funny enough. I was a Roddy Piper in Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii, and I was going to wrestle a guy, in fact, from New Brunswick called The Beast, and I was going to wrestle him in a cage match. Mm-hmm. So Roddy and I are watching him the promo for the match, and all of a sudden we see him with the beer bottle. You know, I said, well, what is he going to do with that? He goes and wow, and smashed the beer bottles on his forehead, you know, and the blood and all the beer all over, you know, and we're going there. Right. And I went, wow, man, that's impressive, you know.
Uh-huh.
And a few months later, him and I were roommates in Oregon. Roddy and I were roommates. And so one night after, I guess I have to admit, after years, you know, we said, hey, why don't we try that, you know? So we went outside, you know, by the garbage can, and we both had a bottle, you know, okay, ready, go, and boom, and we smash a red bottle on our forehead to say, hey, that's all right, you know,
yeah.
Not that, you know, so he did it in a couple of weeks later in Oregon, and me, I did it the 2 years later in Montreal.
Well, it certainly left a lasting impression on Corey. He still remembers it to this day, man.
Yeah, yeah, I guess everybody was kind of, you know, shocked by what happened, especially my when they saw that, they thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Now, you wrestled all over the world throughout the 70s. One territory you wrestled in early in your career was in New Zealand for the promoter Steve Rickert. Can you share some memories wrestling in New Zealand?
Yeah, in fact, that was in 1977. You know, I met this wrestler, Mark Lewin, in Atlanta, Georgia, and in touch with, you know, he told Steve Rickert about it. He called me up. And then a brother from Australia heard I was going to New Zealand, and he called me also, asked if I was interested in going to Australia. Well, so I used to wrestle on the weekends in Australia and during the week in New Zealand. I'd do in both countries, and I loved it there. Especially, you know, I had a long feud against Curtis. Curtis Iaukea, I learned a lot when I was there. You know, I wrestled against them several months, and had a really nice experience. I love New Zealand.
You were also teamed with Tony Garea in New Zealand before returning to the WWF in the 80s. How different was it wrestling together in New Zealand than reuniting in the WWF?
Yeah, well, I met Tony in the States, you know, and of course... We hit it right away because I knew about his country. I had met his brother in New Zealand and all that, so we had a lot about right off the start. So, and we really got close to it. And in 1978, I left my brother Michel, who was wrestling in Puerto Rico, and I left him. He died after a wrestling match, half an hour after his wrestling match, on the way to the hospital. And and you know. I was like 22 years old at the time, and my brother had a 12-year difference with, like, my big brother. You know, he was my idol, my best friend, and everything. You know, and so I met Tony 2 years later. So I guess he kind of was I wouldn't say replaced, but he filled the void that I had lost in a way, and he became like a big brother to me. You know, and still to this day, we're still close. Call each other once in a while and see each other. He came to visit me 2 months ago, and so that was a, you know, great relationship that came about.
How is wrestling in New Zealand compared to here in the States? You know, you don't hear much about professional wrestling in New Zealand, or at least I don't. How is it there?
Well, it's different. First of all, it was in rounds. You used to do 8-minute rounds, you know, six-minute rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that was different. You know, it was, you know, it was like little matches, you know, you had to do a lot of different psychology than wrestling in the States wherever. The round system was not easy to work with.
Mm-hmm. So it was more like a boxing match or a MMA
fight? Yeah, somewhere? Exactly. You had like a couple of minutes, one between the rounds, and it was kind of tough after that. You had to redo again. But the fans were so great over there, though the reaction used to be really great. So it made it easier.
I see. What are your memories of your first WWF stint in the early 80s? And what are some of your memories of winning the WWF tag team titles with Tony Garea?
Could you repeat the question, Nick, please?
What are some of your memories of your first WWF stint in the early 80s?
First of all, I have to say that for Vince McMahon Sr., who I to this day, in my book, was the best promoter I've wrestle for. You know, he was a great man, and he was a man that lived by his word, you know, and so he was really nice person, and so I loved it there. The atmosphere was great, the guys, all the guys got along great, and of course, you know, some big cities, Philly, New York, Boston, and so on, and so I really enjoyed my time there, and also, you know, I was traveling a lot with Tony Garea, and a really fantastic time. And I was there for a couple of years, and, you know, those are some of the best days I've had to this day.
Now, what led you to the AWA after your stint with the WWF?
Well, when I was in Honolulu, Hawaii, wrestling there, I'd wrestled at Nick Winkle a couple of times, and And I wrestled him one time for an hour, and after that wrestled him again, or went really long again. And so I guess, a few people had saw the matches from the AWA. They were quite impressed with it, with what I, you know, the way I wrestled. And so they mentioned it to Vern, and he eventually needed, a baby face. They had a spot, so he got in touch with me while I was in WWF, and offered me to go to the AWA for a while. So I at the time, the AWA, you know, was like the one of the best territories to go, you know, where guys weren't traveling that much, making some really great money. And so I right away I said, yeah, sure. You know, I'd been in WWF for a couple of years, and for me to change, so I accepted right away and went over to the AWA.
How did the McManagement, as I call them, how did they feel towards your leaving WWF, though?
Well, that was kind of strange, because usually they told the guys, you know, hey, look, it's over, you know, maybe we couldn't send you at such and such, you know, so he kind of, took him by surprise when I told him, look, I'd like to leave, because, you know, I was doing well, you know, but that was exactly it. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to wait on. I was doing not so well to leave. I wanted to leave while it was great, and I could return someday and return where I left it.
That's a good point. A lot of people stay around, stick around way too long, and they're not on top anymore. They're leaving when they're more toward the bottom. You left when you're on top, and came back even better than you left. More with Rick the Model Martel here on OWW Radio when we come back. 888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. More with the Model when we come back.
OWW Radio. We'll be right back.
The most controversial man in wrestling radio is coming back to the Free Zone. The Trey Dog is bringing back the fabulous Bam and taking Wrestling News Live back to the people. Be sure to check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk for information and updates. And, oh yeah, join the forums and start posting, bitches. Wrestling News Live, returning soon on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, The Answer here, better known as William McConnell, co-host of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Just letting you know, you can keep it tuned here to Wild Talk Radio Network every Saturday night around midnight or midnight and a half at CB Radio, the show with no conversational boundaries. If you want to get in on the fun, go ahead and call 267-97-1397. Tell them you want CB Radio, and we'll play your voicemails on the show. Or, if you're a little shy, go to wildtalkradio.com and join us in the chat and talk to the fellow listeners and the hosts themselves live while they do the show. So remember, if you're bored, feeling a little lonely, or just want to say nothing to no one in particular, do yourself a favor. Call the number.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Greetings, one and all. This is Michael T. reminding you to check out www.gerweck.net. That's Gerweck.net, the official news source of the Monday Night Mayhem. It's also your official news source for all your pro wrestling news, notes, rosters, results, interviews, and polls. We bring it to you since 1997, free of pop-ups, free of spyware, and more importantly, we bring it to you free of charge. So, ladies and gentlemen, check it out frequently, 24/7. www.gerweck.net, Gerweck.net, the official news source of the Monday Night Mayhem.
Option 2 radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick, joined with Rick the Model Martel, and a legend in professional wrestling. He's here on OWW Radio. Rick, we've been talking about your AWA career as well, WWF. Now, you became a household name with the AWA wrestling as a headliner all over the world, especially in Japan. Now, can you share some of the memories wrestling in Japan?
In Japan?
Yep.
Yeah, well, the first time I was there was 1976 with my brother and family, 20 years old, you know, and I loved it right away. Even though in Japan it's kind of hard because the wrestling style is different and the reaction of the people is, you know, they're really quiet, and at the end they clap for whoever wins, and the ring is really hard, in fact, a couple of years ago, when I was with WWE at the Night of Champions,
uh-huh,
I did an appearance there that night. Ric Flair was there, and I had wrestled while I was AWA champion. So Ric Flair, and he was NWA champion, And we remind each other that night about the reaction we had. Very surprised. We had a great reaction in Tokyo, you know, when we wrestled against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange to get that kind of reaction, but we were quite pleased. But anyway, After I won the AWA championship, I beat Jumbo Tsuruta, who was one of the top stars at the time in Japan. Right away, after I defend my title, I could tell, you know, the difference, the reaction of the people, the respect out there, and I really enjoyed Japan. I've been there several times, and I loved it there.
What was your initial reaction when you found out that you'd be winning the AWA world title from Jumbo Tsuruta at the age of 29? Did I pronounce that right,
well,
by the way? Did I pronounce that right, Tsuruta?
Yeah, Jumbo Tsuruta.
Tsuruta, okay.
And, I had left the AWA. I was back in Montreal, in Quebec, wrestling for international wrestling. I was getting ready to go to a few other places, in fact, Japan. And then I got a call from Vern Gagne, and Nick Bockwinkel, tell him that they want to talk to me. They had something to propose to me, and so I did go, and, they told me about their plans with the championship, Jumbo, and so I accepted right away. The match was made, and I went there in May of 1984, and it was great, But I remember that night where the St. Paul Civic Center, where I won the match, Jumbo, of course, didn't speak much English and didn't speak any French at all. So,
right.
So it's kind of hard to, to communicate in the ring.
Uh-huh.
And the people, they were used to style here in the United States, American style. So mm-hmm. to see a Japanese match in the States. But, we made the best of it. And, when I won the match, it felt great. It's I have to say it's the best night of my life, of my career, remember always.
With the Japanese style of professional wrestling so different, was it hard trying to keep up? You said the communication, that aspect was difficult, but was the wrestling style different to comprehend and get over with Jumbo?
Yeah, it was hard because, first, people in Minneapolis didn't know who Jumbo was, so
right.
He couldn't get any reaction, and getting his heat or getting the crowd reaction of some kind. And also I noticed that I lost the belt to Stan Hansen, who was a big star in Japan, the biggest star in Japan. And he was used to that style, that non-stop action, non-stop, where there's no stop for reaction of the people. You just keep going and going and going, And I wrestled him. He was used to wrestling this way, and
yeah,
it's quite an adjustment for me.
Do you think that world title loss to Hansen hurt your career?
No, I don't think so. In fact, somebody was mentioning not long ago about it, and I think I decided to do it this way because I was thinking more of, I've always been this way. My goal is not about thinking about the glory. It's what's good for the wrestling business. And I think, I wanted to give Stan a shot possible to get over as a world champion. And I said, yeah, let's do it this way. So, put some credibility to the belt, the world belt, and instead of eating some kind of DQ kind of a match, where I said, no, let's do it fair and square. And
right.
And I don't think it's because people, we had done this angle where my wife was injured and doctors told me not to wrestle that night. And we played that angle where I shouldn't wrestle in the first place, but I went ahead for the fans. And it worked out pretty good. I never felt it hurt me at all.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm one of the fans of yours that only saw you in the WWF. Do you think, such as myself, a lot of fans missed out on some of your better work by not being able to see you in the AWA?
Well, yeah. Well, my career, was, I feel the best years of my career was from 1977 on to 1991, for my greatest in professional wrestling, because in 91, after the match against Jake the Snake, I started doing get involved in business, in the real estate business. I bought some days commercial and residential, and then I took almost a year off in 91. And when I came back, you know, I was 50% wrestler and 50% businessman, but I needed the money, you know, to pursue my business and all that. So I took, you know, it's a choice that I made, and I was okay, because I didn't want to, I wanted to be ready for my second career. I had given a lot to wrestling from 1973 to 91, so now it was time to think about for myself a little bit.
What led you back to the WWE?
Well, I came back in 92, you know, said I needed money to invest more in the business that I was, and so I did. I came back for a couple of years, and then in 96, in 97, back to WCW, now my business was working good. I had some good in place, and I was ready to come back to wrestling at 100% now, you know. So I went to meet Vince McMahon, the possibility of returning to WWE with Don Callis, a guy from Winnipeg, and supposed to come back as the supermodels. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about the different ways of doing it, but I guess they didn't want to give me a yearly contract, just a 3-month contract, just to see how we were going to do. And at this point, I explained to Don that, after all these years I'd been in wrestling, I was not ready to prove myself. You know, I want a yearly contract. So I went and met with Eric Bischoff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now,
so I met with them, and they offered me a year, for 2 years, and mm-hmm. it was great. Really happy, but unfortunately, I was 42 years old at the time, and I got injured a couple of times, and I'd been in wrestling 25 years, so I it was time for me to quit.
Being a former AWA world champion, did you feel that being brought back in as a tag team wrestler was the wrong move?
No, because I enjoyed tag team wrestling. I think tag team wrestling is very exciting, and it's a lot of fun. Sometimes it can be easier on the body, because if you're injured, you can go and wrestle. That night that your partner takes over, you know.
Right.
But I like both.
888-357-9876, option 2, Rick D'Amato Martel. Rick, when we come back, WrestleMania 3 is on my mind. We'll talk more about it when we come back. 888-357-9876. Rick D'Amato Martel here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Wait a minute.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
OWW Radio at 888-357-9876, option 2, Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick. On the line with us is our guest, Rick the Model Martel, a professional wrestler, a legend in the industry, man. Worked with AWA, WCW, WWE. He's a model, real estate professional. And he's joining us here on OWW Radio. Before we went to a break, Rick, I mentioned WrestleMania 3. And what are your memories of wrestling the first match at this WrestleMania, teaming with Tom Zink?
It was great.
You faced off with Don Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton. How was it?
It's great. I remember, wrestling that night. Well, first of all, we got in the day before, and we went in that building. We knew it was sold out a few weeks ahead before that day. So we knew the seats that we're looking at were going to be filled the next day.
Right.
And it was an unbelievable feeling, and I remember, we were there. It was Tom and I. We were opening up the match, and of course, there was a lot of pressure on us because you want something like that to start on the right note. And it was, I guess, one of the first events, where was on a national level where everybody, was aware of the match Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan, and to start that event was like some kind of an honor,
Absolutely, man. How was it with Don Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton?
Oh, these two guys are the ultimate pros, Don Morocco and Bob Orton. I have tremendous respect for those two wrestlers. And I'd wrestled against them in the past. I'd been wrestled Don Morocco in Australia, New Zealand. We were there for a while where I met him there always enjoyed wrestling him, and also enjoyed him as a person outside the ring.
What are some of your fondest memories, or some of the memories you have wrestling with Chico, Tito Santana, against the Hart Foundation, and winning WWF Tag Team titles from them? I mean, the Hart Foundation, yeah?
Well, Tito is a great, a great partner, here's a guy that, after having that deal with Tom Zank, teaming up with Tito was a great guy. We used to wrestle where we'd go in the ring, him and I, and it was whoever was in there. We didn't say, oh, well, you did more than I did. And, it was, look, let's go in there and let's get the best match of the night and let's give 100% so people enjoy themselves. And that was it. That's the only way we were thinking, and And I like his style, you know. He had a kind of similar style to mine. And
right.
I wrestled, I enjoyed wrestling him in tag team, but I also enjoyed very much wrestling against him, you know, in a single match.
Single competition, exactly. Let me go back a little bit to WrestleMania 3 when Hogan slammed Andre the Giant. Did you remain in the arena at that time?
Oh yeah, I made sure I was there, and I made sure also we had some TV sets in the dressing room, you know, where you could watch what was going on in the ring. But I made sure I went out of the dressing room, and I went in the alley where I could see the match live, you know.
Wow.
And because these two guys were friends of mine, you know, I had been I'd been sharing an apartment with Hulk for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Andre being French, you know, we always traveled together.
Right.
So of course, these two guys, you know, and I knew it was kind of a special match because it was like the changing of the guards. You know, up to that point, Andre was always the ultimate attraction in wrestling, mm-hmm. and now Hulk, you know, Andre was aware that Hulk was going to be the man. You know, I mean, he was going to be the it. You know, in wrestling. So at first Andre didn't like the idea, and then he realized that it was time to move on. You know, it was time to have another superstar. You know, and they ended up having a great match. And I remember I was there when he slammed him. The reaction, unreal. You know, I never seen or heard a reaction like that ever. It was fantastic to be there and to be part of this whole thing.
Wow. It is probably one of the most memorable, you know, actions that I can remember, and I will forever remember it.
Yeah, because, you know, to me it was the meaning behind this match that was impressive, you know, what it meant. And like I said, you know, it was like a new era was starting, you know, with, as we know, what Hulk did for wrestling, you know, and it was like to be a witness of that, the birth of this era.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great WrestleMania moments, you are in quite a few of them. That blindfold match was phenomenal, you and Jake.
Excuse me, Nick?
I said there were a lot of WrestleMania memories that I will remember forever, and you are in a lot of them. That match with Jake the Snake, the blindfold match, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, Jake is another wrestler that I have great respect for. You know, I mean, he was one of a kind, you know, that... And he had that character, the snakes down to a T. And, you know, here's a guy that he did great promos and great, you know, ring psychology. And I wrestled him, you know, a few weeks every night prior to the WrestleMania. And that blindfold, you know, I never wrestled a blindfold match before. So I asked for a blindfold a month prior to the WrestleMania, so I could get the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did one in West Palm Beach, Florida, and you know, it's kind of hard because you couldn't see very well. And
yeah.
But you know, we managed to get a match out of it. You know, I was pretty pleased with the results. And but with Jake, you know, it's you couldn't do no wrong. You know, I mean, he was such a great wrestler.
We had Tito Santana on the show last year. When the topic of your split came up, Tito said that he was pushing for the heel turn while you stay as a babyface. Do you think your singles run that followed your tag team split would have been different had you stayed a face and Santana made the heel turn?
Well, at that point, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I didn't want to be anymore a babyface. You know, I had been a babyface for 15 years, and it was time for me to get a new challenge, you know, to get another, you know, another, I was tired, and it turned out to be good because,
yeah.
as a model, you know, I got to be a lot of fun for me, and more I was able to get the interview there, you know, be more creative, and so it gave me the opportunity to experiment a lot of things that I'd seen, and I was able to because let's face it, a heel, you know, is a lot more I wouldn't say exciting, but you know, there's a lot more you can do than being a babyface.
A lot more you can get away with, more entertaining.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
of course.
Yeah.
You know, and the interviews, you know, you can play with it, have fun, you know, and especially during those years, you know, I'm not sure now, you know, what is a babyface and what is a heel, you know. it may be different now, but especially in those days in the 80s, it was quite different. It was like more of a black and white, you know.
Right.
The baby face, or, you know, you wore the white and then the heel wore the black, you know, I mean, that type of thing. It's like in the movies.
Right. Yeah, today you don't know which is which. It's more, personality is what we mentioned last week.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah.
Now, this model gimmick was perhaps one of the most unorthodox, but also one of the most memorable heel personas of the late 80s, man, and the early 90s. How did you feel at the time about the character? Did it play out the way you had envisioned it?
No, well, in fact, J.J. Dillon and Vince gave me the character, the model, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with it. And my first reaction was one of, well, what am I going to do with that, you know? And then I started thinking about it, and then the creative juices started flowing, and I came up, you know, with a few ideas, you know, amongst, the arrogance and the perfume and all these different ideas. So I felt great doing it, and I loved it. I really, it made me expand my career, and I feel even to this day, you know, that I had to do this move, and I'm happy with the way it turned out.
Why did your manager wrestler relationship with Slick end?
Yeah, well, Slick, they gave me at first Slick as a manager, and I like Slick, a really nice man, but professionally, I didn't think he belonged in my corner. I wanted to, you know, I thought he was taken away from my character, and in the interviews and also in the ring, you know. So I asked Vince, you know, if I could go it alone, and he accepted right away.
Well, in professional wrestling, there are a handful of valets or managers. Don't you see Slick as one of the top ones in the industry? At that time.
Yeah, you know, he's very good, and like I said, I have a lot of respect for him. But to me, I say that the best manager ever is Bobby Heenan, Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know,
right.
This guy, I saw him in the AWA, you know, and the way the heat that he got in these interviews, and what a quick mind, he'd be there and had a quick response right away, and he was fantastic. He entertained me for a long time.
Do you think the lack of managers in today's industry hurts the industry as a whole?
Well, it's hard today nowadays to make any judgments on why and what's wrong or what's right. And today is different days, different times. People are used to seeing a lot of, you know, it's like the movies, you know, it's like comparing a movie that was done in the 70s or the 80s to a movie that's done now, the different technology and all that stuff. And people have seen a lot of things that in those years they never seen. So it's hard to, you know, it's different, and that's all. I saw the last WrestleMania, you know, in Florida, and I was impressed. You know, I don't watch much wrestling anymore, but I made sure I've watched this one, and I have a lot of respect for the guys now. You know, they risk their bodies to make sure people enjoy it, but I make no judgments. Those are different times, and that's all.
Okay. Well, the Royal Rumble is coming up, and you lasted a thin record 53 minutes, man, in 91,
yeah,
which is quite a feat. Do you enjoy the Rumble concept?
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it, you know, but being in it, it's a very tiring match. I would rather wrestle in a match 50 minutes than being in a Royal Rumble 50 minutes, you know. I mean, it's more tiring because, you know, you always have a guy left or right or from behind that comes into you, you know, and it's very dangerous for injuries also because you don't know what's coming or who's coming from where. And so it's pretty tiring. And But I was really happy the way it went in 91, and I was pretty proud of this.
You mentioned that you don't watch much professional wrestling nowadays. Do you know some of the guys of today? Do you have a prediction or a winner for this year?
No, you know, I don't watch much of it, and you know, I'm just you know, I don't know why, because you know, wrestling is still in my blood. You know, I will always love wrestling, and I guess it's you know, because you know, I was part of it, and you see it, you kind of, well, you wish you were there again, you know. And but I don't know what exactly the reason, but it no means, because I think wrestling is great now. You know, guys are doing some great things, but I get to see the WrestleMania. I make a point to still go see every WrestleMania.
Right. Do they fly you in? Do they hook you
no,
up?
No, they don't. Like last time I went to this movie theater with my nephew. You know, he's a big wrestling fan, and we went together to see it at this closed circuit. You know, I mean, from a movie theater.
Right. Okay. I'm sure you remember Tatanka. What are your memories of this match, Tatanka?
You know, he, I liked him. You know, he, of course, he was kind of new in the wrestling, and I guess they put me against him to kind of show him a few things. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I at that point, you know, I my role as a teacher, you know, I wrestling has given me a lot to that point, and I was ready to give back also. So if I met Tatanka a few years ago, and you know, he was really he was very thankful, you know, for what he realized that I helped him a lot, showed him a few things, and he was very respectful, and I liked him, you know, as a guy, and I thought, you know, that character, you know, the Indian gimmick, you know, fit him great. He did good with it, but you know, he's a I like to wrestle him, you know. I thought it was all right.
Between 93 and 95, did you get any offers to go to WCW? Were you interested in going there?
No, not at all. Like I said, I wasn't at that point, you know.
You were done, huh?
I don't think I was at my top, you know. I mean, as a wrestler, I wasn't concentrating on the wrestling. Like I said, I was just there, you know, to do the best under the circumstances that was at the time for me. Because, you know, to be a top wrestler, you have to be there. You know, you have to be at it 100%. You know, and you can't be sidestepped by any other anything in your life. You have to concentrate 100%, and which I wasn't doing up to that point from 92 on. So I paid the price. I mean, I had to wrestle at a lower level, you know, because I was used always to wrestle, you know, at a higher level of competition. But I accepted it. It was my choice. It was okay.
All right. More with the model, Rick Martel, when we come back. One more segment with you, Rick, when we come back. 888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Be right back.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, Independent and International Discussion, Women's Wrestling, 8 video forms, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
The Motto Martel, 888-357-9876, option 2, radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick here on OWW Radio. We're talking to Rick the Motto Martel, legendary professional wrestler with several promotions under his belt, most known for his AWA years and also WWF years in professional wrestling. Rick, in a shoot interview you had with RF Video, you said that you and Don Callis were set to return to the WWF as the supermodels in 97. You also mentioned it earlier in the conversation. Callis would eventually turn on you, which would have made you a babyface for the first time in 8 years in the WWF. However, due to a pay dispute you had with Vince McMahon, you went to WCW. Had you and Vince McMahon came to an agreement, where would you have seen yourself in the WWF? As a European title contender against the British Bulldog, IC title contender against Owen Hart, or even The Rock, or a WWF title contender against Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels. Where would you see yourself if you had stayed with the WWF at that time?
Well, you know, it's hard to speculate on that, but of course, you know, during that Super Models, I think it would have got over great, you know. Because the idea of it, you know, me coming back with a younger guy, and you know, the long hair and all that, he would have been, you know, turning on me eventually. I think that would have got over pretty good, and and they had, like you said, the name you just mentioned, you know, those are great names.
Oh, absolutely.
But I, you know, and I took this opportunity, Nick, to mention that. You know, even though on this contract dispute, we didn't see eye to eye, you know, Vince McMahon and myself, mm-hmm. I have nothing but respect for Vince McMahon Jr., you know, I mean, because I came from the 1970, early 70s, you know, so I saw the, before WWF became what it is today,
right.
I saw how the wrestlers lived at that time. You know, we used to go territories to regional territories from regional territories. Mm-hmm. You couldn't save, you know, we didn't make that great amount of money, you know, and if you were lucky, you made a bit. And then Vince McMahon came to the scene, and then the money became much greater, and we were able to live at one place, you know, and fly from there, and you know, at least our family, our wives, were able to have some kind of normal life, you know.
Right.
And so I credit him for that. Vince McMahon, he changed the wrestling business for the better, I say, you know, as far as we're concerned, the wrestlers, and I think the fans also benefited from it.
Absolutely.
And because you know, I heard in the past, you know, people were credited, you know, kind of criticizing him, you know, but. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I praise what he's done for wrestling.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And to tell the truth, be honest, Bret Hart feels the same. We talked with Bret Hart a couple of months back, and he said the exact same thing. We all know
some of the feelings that he has for Vince McMahon. I mean, we don't know deep feelings that he has for him, but he did come out and say, you know, I respect the man. Look what he's done for me, and I'm completely grateful for what he's made me into and what he's done for me. And that's respectable to hear from you as well as Bret Hart.
Yeah, you know, and also I've seen him a lot of under a lot of. I respect him as a businessman. In fact, you know, in my business, when certain times, you know, hard times came, and I always thought about him, you know, saying, "Hey, look, this guy, you know, man, he was always cool. I never seen Vince McMahon raise his voice or lose his cool, you know." You know, I think I admire him as a businessman. I can tell you that.
All right. How do you feel about the current state of WWE, TNA, and the competition between the two? Now, we're just talking about the competition between WWE and TNA. How do you feel about this?
Well, I think it's great. I think the winner here are the fans, you know, because they're going to upgrade whatever they were doing, the different promotions, you know, WWE and TNA. And I think, you know, competition is healthy. You know, you have to have competition. And I think they're going to better themselves to make sure they win this race. Mm-hmm. So the fans, they benefit from it. I think it's fantastic.
The indie scene, you watch much of the indie scenes, like ROH, Chikara, any of those promotions?
Could you repeat, please?
What about the independent scenes, the indie scenes, the indie promotions out there? You watch any of those, like ROH?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. This is from RickTheModelMartel.com. Martel reappeared in World Championship Wrestling in 1997, feuding with Booker T for the WCW World Television Championship, which he won on February 16, 1998. Martel's comeback was cut short when at Super Brawl 8, he landed badly during his match with Booker T, hitting his leg on one of the steel cables that WCW used as ring ropes. He tore an inside ligament of his right knee, fractured his leg, and suffered cartilage damage, effectively ending his in-ring career. This may be a difficult question, even after all this, but how hard was it to see your storied career end on such a somber note?
Well, I was just thankful at the time that I, you know, my career, like I said, I've been 25 years in wrestling. So, you know, had I been a young man starting wrestling and having this injury, that would have been horrible, you know. But I thought, you know, I at that point, I said, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to hang my boots, you know. And you know, Booker T, I respect him. He's a... you know, great guy, and him and his brother, Stevie Ray, you know, mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for those two guys, but, you know, they were just starting then, and, you know, they didn't have much experience, and, but I, you know, like I said also, I'd been wrestling 25 years, so it was time for me to quit, so I listened to the signs, and I did, mm-hmm. and, you know, very... very thankful for the career I had and also my stint in the WCW, and I had a great time but like you said, I wish I could have ended up on a different note.
Right. Were there ever any complaints issued about the ring after this?
No, I don't think so. You know, I remember, Nick, my very first day at WCW, it was in Atlanta. We were filming that night on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the afternoon, Razor Ramon came to get me in the dressing room. He says, Rick, come here. He says, follow me. He says, where do you want to go? Look, let's go to the ring. I just want to show you something. Mm-hmm. So we went there. There was nobody in the building, you know, and he says, look, get in the ring. I said, what are you talking about? Get in the ring. Get the feel of it. You'll see how different it is, you know.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, he says, run to the ropes, you know, and I ran to the ropes, and I couldn't believe how hard they were, you know, and wow. How small the ring was. And And I was very grateful to him because I wouldn't have wanted to find that out on a live match, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I knew what to expect when I stepped in that ring that night. So I thanked him a lot. You know, Razor, by the way, is really a good person, and I liked him a lot. In the AWA, we trained together in the gym, you know, and so it was really nice of him to warn me about that ring.
That's a great story about Scott Hall. Yeah, I mean, you don't hear that many great stories from about Scott Hall, but that's absolutely one of the great ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. He's I like to wrestle him also. You know, when I wrestled him in Raw, we had done a battle royal and we were gonna wrestle for the Intercontinental, and I liked him. I think he was a great character. You know, that character like Scarface and all that. I think he did it great.
Absolutely, yeah. He was one of the favorites during that time, man. Razor Ramon.
Oh yeah, right? Oh yeah. He was great.
And who can forget that that ladder match he and Sean had?
Oh yeah. And also, you know, Sean, who's a great talent. You know, I remember in '92 when we wrestled against each other in London, that SummerSlam. You know, prior to him becoming a heel, you know, Sean came to me and asked if he could travel with me a little bit to pick my brains about being a heel, you know, and we traveled together a couple times and we made discussions about his views and mine about being a heel, and then eventually, you know, we wrestled against each other in London, and after the match, you know, he came and thanked me, and you know, when he got his payoff, you know, it was his first big payoff he's ever had, and that was the beginning, you know, of a great career. I mean, of a great career as a heel, because he had done some great things as a babyface, but as a heel now, you know, he's I have tremendous respect for him. I always liked him as a guy and also as a wrestler.
Some of the best baby faces become some of the best heel character. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think so, because when you're a heel, I mean a babyface, you always say, oh well, I'd like my heel, you know, to do this and to do that, or you know. So when you do become a heel, then all these years of frustration where, you know, you say, oh, I wish you would have done this, would have done that. Now you have the opportunity to do it and to experiment and. And, yeah, you're right, Nick. A lot of good heels were baby faces before.
Do some of these guys stay in contact with you? You stay in contact with them? How does that work? Are you in contact with the WWE still?
No, not anymore. You know, the only person that I'm in contact with now is Tony Garea, you know, and also Lanny Poffel, the genius. You know, we call each other once in a while, and he's a very good friend of mine. And other than that, is another thing I love to do, even though I only do two or three a year, you know, and at the max, I could do it more, but, you know, I'm busy with my business, and it's those fan festivals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you go and for the weekend and a different place in New York or wherever, and you go and sign autographs, and those are great because it gives me the opportunity to see the fans again, and then we spend the weekend with the guys that I wrestled with for, you know, years ago, and it's, I enjoy that. I really enjoy those weekends, and I'm looking forward to the next one I'm doing.
I'm sure you've heard of the Cauliflower Alley Club. Any interest in that, or are you a member of it?
Well, definitely. In fact, you know, like I said, Tony Garea was here at my home a couple of months ago, and we discussed that we might go this year, you know, because I'd like to see all those guys, at least a couple of times, you know, the next couple of years. So I might go this year.
Well, I hope to see you there. I'm a member as well, and I hope I get to meet you in person and see you there.
All right.
All right, man.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Cool. Rick D'Amato Martel joining us here on OWW Radio. Rick, I want to thank you so very much for coming on with us this evening, and I hope we can talk again down the line.
Yeah, I hope so too, Nick. And And please, you know, you and Corey do a tremendous job. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for, you know, what you do. And, you're the kind of guy that studied it. And when you talk about wrestling, you know, I have a lot of respect for what you say and your opinions. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so very much. Rick D'Amato, Martel. Oh, one quick thing, Rick. The fragrance that you had in the in the spray bottle there, what was that in there, man?
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing. You mentioned that, Nick. You know, we had some perfume at the beginning, and then we went to New York to try to find a kind of recipe for it. And we're going to market it, and Vince, we're going to have it in the magazine, you know, like in the fashion magazine where you have that little piece of paper that
right.
you lift, and you have the smell in there.
Right.
You know, we're going to do that, and the whole thing. And then there's a lawsuit that came about. The fan from the Northwest, you know, wanted to sue me because he said he had received some in his eyes.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, while I was outside, I was spraying somebody, and then he said that he received. So Vince, at that time, there was a lot of lawsuits, you know. Different guys were being, pursued by fans with lawsuits. So Vince says, look, Rick, you know, we can't take a chance. And they asked me to just to put water in there, you know. So he says, if we ever get a lawsuit, then, you know, we'll say, hey, look, it's water and we have plenty of witness and all that stuff.
All right.
So we changed it.
All right, man. Rick D'Amato Martel here on OWW Radio. Thanks, man, for coming on with us. It's been a pleasure. It's been absolutely the best. Man. Rick D'Amato Martel.
Well, I appreciate it, Nick. I appreciate talking with you. And, and I just want to say thanks to all the fans all these years supporting me. I really appreciate that because, you know, maybe cliche, but, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be there. And so it's great. And, again, I enjoyed talking with you and give my best to Corey.
I sure will. Rick Martel here on OWW Radio. Thanks a lot, Rick. Talk to you later.
Yes, this is Rick D'Amato Martel, and you are listening to OWW Radio. Yes, of course.
The producers of OWW Radio are Shock Scott and Aaron. The executive producer of OWW Radio is Corey Morrow. Brad Dykens is the editor-in-chief of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Jason Dedrich is the owner. You can check out Jason at Ferdella.com. Thanks to our guest, the model Rick Martel, everybody. Look for him possibly at the CAC this coming April. It's April 19th through the 21st, man. I can't wait for that. Got some specials coming up about the CAC. Man, I'm looking forward to that. All right, OWW Radio is on iTunes. Subscribe to us already. What's the matter with you people? We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Click wrestle.com for downloads of some of your favorite professional wrestlers. $2.95. Man, can't go wrong with $2.95 for Click Wrestle downloads of some of your favorite professional wrestlers. EWF, Empire Wrestling Federation. Check them out at EmpireWrestlingFederation.com. All right, thanks for listening to us here at WTR Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll talk and talk lives up next. Thanks a lot. Talk to you next week.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.